goodbye now
is over.
That's all. Thank you.
All right. That's a wrap.
It's Friday, and this is The Wrap on the Jazz Joe Hall Show.
Thank God it's
This week, we look at why are school boards becoming a battleground for our culture wars, and should elected officials have opinions when it comes to local restaurants? Joining us today is our regular Friday Wrap panel. Leah Halive is a TV reporter and radio host, and Sarah Daniels is a real estate agent in South Surrey. She's an author and broadcaster as well. Leah, Sarah, welcome.
Hi.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Well, this is a bit of a serious topic, but I think it's a very important one. I would want to put this in context with some news today. The Toronto Blue Jays cut pitcher Anthony Bass today, day after the right-handed reliever said he didn't think an anti-LGBTQ social media post he shared last month was hateful. The move came hours before Bass was set to catch a ceremonial first pitch from Toronto LGBTQ activist Leslie Lee Cam before today's game against Minnesota as the Blue Jays began their fourth annual Pride Weekend celebrations. That's just today. Now, in the U.S., we've seen a lot of news coming out of that country where many organizations are trying to get elected to local school boards, and it's no different here in British Columbia. During the last civic election cycle, that would be, of course, November time last year, a variety of organizations, conservative and with Christian ties, were running school board candidates in 8 BC school districts. And many have said, and I think they nominated 28 candidates in a number of communities across British Columbia. We have covered some of those stories here, where there's an ongoing issue, where there's a push to, of course, gain control of school boards. Many people feel that the school boards are indoctrinating kids, or certainly schools and their ideology are. So there's an ongoing issue with our school boards further and further becoming a battleground for our culture wars. Leah, let me start with you. Why do you think this is happening?
You know what? I don't know. It seems like the world is just going down the drain, that's for sure. Like, I have friends that are part of the LGBTQ plus community, and knowing them, and they're all in different situations, they feel they were born the way they were born, and that's the way it is. And I think people that are trying to put their bigoted opinions into the school board and trying to say, well, we can't teach them this, they can't go see drag queens, we can't have books that mention this, to me, I think that's ridiculous. I think that is so, what, 1500s maybe? I think we need to get ahead of the times, and we need to realize that this world is full of all unique type of beings that walk this earth, and we need to respect them, and we need to let them know that they have a place, that they're welcome. And if we're starting at a young age and we're teaching them this is not okay, what kind of adults are they going to be in the world? To me, this just really, really upsets.
It's almost they're looking for like an imaginary villain here.
Yes.
Those who are transgender, to my understanding, or non-binary, make up about 10% of the 1 million LGBTQ plus people in Canada. So the numbers in the grand scheme of things, especially in this country where we are mere weeks away to welcoming 40 million people in this country, 1 million out of 40 million is still a very small number. Sarah, your thoughts on this? Is it just a case of the culture war spilling over from the U.S., or do you think this is something that's taken hold in our country?
Well, for those of you who think that you're being a good Christian by trying to divide people this way, I really don't think Jesus would love that terribly much. So there's that. I mean, you bring religion into these kind of things and it ends up being a shield. I live in White Rock, South Surrey. I was driving by a park on the corner of Oxford and Marine yesterday, and there was a giant demonstration saying that the children were being groomed, et cetera, so on. I wanted to get out of the car and yell at them, but I thought, you know what? This is exactly what they want. So I came home, I phoned the city, and I said, I believe that they're protesting on a public park and making it unusable for anybody else. Have they taken out a permit? And by the way, that's hate speech. So, you know, I deal with things in my own way. I've got friends that are in the LGBTQ community as well. I know several people that identify as transgender. And, you know, I sometimes mess up pronouns. We are all going to be fallible that way. It is a learning process, but people need to get over it. And may I point out, if you haven't heard of Alan Turing, he was a gentleman from World War II who helped break the codes and saved us from Nazism and other things. He was gay and ended up getting persecuted, chemically castrated, and died at the age of 41. That's right, everybody. A gay man saved you from being part of God knows what.
Yeah, it's interesting, not just with what, and great comments there, Sarah and Leah. And it's in regards to LGBTQ+, in regards to non-binary. I mean, this conversation has been going on for decades in regards to even just simple sex education for our kids in our schools, and it continues. And I do worry that we have politicized these schools, and we've had school board chairs on this show where they've had to ban people because people are being threatened. We're unable to even conduct school board meetings. So it's not just an isolated case in one community or one protest. This is something that is an ongoing campaign, and they're not stopping. They just believe
And the idea, of course, that people are trying to groom their children. I can tell you, I have a friend, good friend, who's got a transgender child. It has been one of the most difficult things their family has gone through. First of all, mm-hmm. I mean, just psychologically for the family, the child in question, nobody in this right world wants anything like that for their child if they can avoid it. What
you
they want
do
their child
that,
to do is live a happy life. Nobody, the stress and the horror that so many transgender people go through, nobody Absolutely. Would want that for anybody. So the fact that people actually think that anybody would be out there trying to make somebody miserable, feel trapped in their own body, not being able to identify as their true selves, is patently ridiculous. And frankly, don't you have anything else to do with your life? Get a life, for God's sake.
I think partially also society is making that transition to being more open and understanding, but it does take time, and with it you have these cultural conversations, and in many ways there are things people didn't like that was happening in the 60s and 70s, and I think we're sort of in that same period. It's different. A different conversation.
I worry that we're
100
years
ago. But they're not even willing to learn.
I worry that we've taken for granted the freedoms that we have, much like in the 20s, the 1920s. And look what happened in the 1930s. Something to think about.
Just joining us, so we are speaking to our Friday Wrap panel. Leah Halive and Sarah Daniels are joining us. Well, this next story is actually out in their neck of the woods in White Rock, and it's a big story. It's a huge amount of controversy. Anybody knows if you go to White Rock, you got to try the fish and chips there on Marine Drive. Well, on Wednesday, Moby Dick Restaurant shared a screenshot of a comment made by White Rock City Councilor Dave Chesney. And basically, under a photo captioned, "Who knows this place? Famous fish and chips, so good," Chesney commented on June 5th, living off its reputation for decades. When Peter Mueller, who was Moby Dick founder, left, so did the number one rating. Go next food to Coney Island. Right? I guess he meant go next door for food at Coney Island, where all the locals eat. Now, the proprietor of Moby Dick wasn't very happy, referring to the comments as defamatory. I'll leave that to lawyers to decide. I'm not sure if it is, but certainly they aren't happy. And they felt that Mr. Chesney's comments, he shouldn't have commented in a public venue like Facebook. And they talked about ethical misconduct by a public official. So, Leah, let me go to you first. Huge controversy. Fish and chips. The humanity of it all. Now, shouldn't an elected official be able to have a personal opinion when it comes to a restaurant?
Well, I was thinking about this and I thought, okay, you know what? It may be okay to voice a review on a restaurant, but not one that is located in the city that you're an elected official. You know, if you're going to Burnaby and you slam some restaurant there, that's fine. But you are, a White Rock councillor. So maybe, just maybe, don't put that on Facebook because it will be found. So to me, I think, what he wrote, some of it was kind of, it was kind of jarring. So I thought, wow, okay. I kind of felt bad for Moby Dick's. I know a lot of people that love going to Moby Dick's, by the way. So for me, I don't eat fish. I'm a vegetarian, but if I did, I would go there. But I think go to a different town and say something. Don't do it in your neck of the woods, I think.
Yeah,
that's
and I guess
kind of the way I look at
and
it.
I guess the original proprietor, Mr. Chesney, was referring to, he left in 1999. So for the last 24 years,
it's been a while.
The place has still been in business, has been doing well. And I think I've been to Moby Dick because I used to live in White Rock, and a lot of fat seagulls in that area because they're very well fed when it comes to fish and chips. Sarah,
that's kind of fish and chip row through there too, right? Like there's a lot of fish and chip places. I've been to Moby Dick's a ton of times. It's good fish and chips. I mean, I also, this is on a Facebook group about pitchers in BC, I think it is. And as you guys have heard me say before, I started a website, rather a Facebook group down here 4 years ago, which is the White Rock South Surrey group. We've got about 40,000 members now.
Wow.
And we have a specific rule on it that you cannot come on slag a business. Because here's the thing is, just because you want to slag a business, I have no idea whether you've got a personal vendetta against the owner. I don't know whether you're a troll. I don't know anything about you. So, I mean, we had a big incident last year, and I like to call it Pizzagate, because somebody came on and they were upset that they had apparently ordered a pizza at some point, and the pizza came wrong, and they called the place, and the place, whoever they talked to, said, oh, we'll give you a free pizza next time. Now, this is what they say,
yeah.
And 2 weeks later, they show up at the pizza place to pick up the pizza that they've now ordered, and they say, well, it's free, and the poor person who's standing there going, well, what are you talking about? Because there was no paperwork for it. Then they go and post on the Facebook group about, this place is terrible, they promised me a story, and it just went bonkers. I took the post down, and then they all came after me because I was denying them free speech. And I'm like, seriously? Facebook, there is no free speech. This is not free speech.
Yeah.
And I like to call myself on the group the benevolent dictator. So there you go.
Sarah
but
Daniels.
People came after me. People came after me. So this is the thing. Is that, like, I'll say whatever I want to on my own page. But I'm not going to do it on a Facebook group at all. It's asking for trouble. People know who you are, Jazz. People know who you are, Leah. People know who I am. It's a great, if you want to wave the flag and have yourself targeted, it's a great way to do it.
And as I say, all politics are local, and especially for a White Rock council, a very small community.
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody.
Not like 5 million people live here.
You don't
or
slag,
you know?
And whether you like it or not, keep it to yourself. I mean, that's just the rules of modern politics, you know, and especially
and like I said, I mean, especially in where people do put up posts about, I hate this restaurant. I mean, you have to take those things with a grain of salt. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe they don't like the
could
owner.
Be the restaurant next door. You know,
yeah. There's so many. So this
Who
is
knows?
The thing is, people pull out their pitchforks and they go absolutely bonkers, and it's like, seriously, give your head a shake. Get off Facebook. Go for a walk.
Well, or they get their friends to sign in and give bad reviews of the restaurant, even they haven't been there.
Yeah. Like, I've got a bad review on my Google reviews because somebody was
mad that
I wouldn't let them post on the Facebook group.
No.
So she's a bad real estate agent.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So there, and I reported it to Google, and of course, they don't care.
At the end, it all comes down to high school. We never leave high school.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Exactly.
Ladies, thank you so much. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.